Number 3 is where we're going to start this morning. I want to apologize up front for my voice or lack thereof. The change in weather has affected my allergies. I feel wonderful. It's just every year in the fall, I tend to have a few Sundays like this where the weather just does a number on my voice. Of course, screaming and yelling when the Cardinals won the World Series did not help. But it is allergies, and being around St. Louis, that was pretty exciting. But I'm much more excited about what God's doing here this morning in hearts and in lives through His Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, before we read this, there are many, many Christians, probably in this room right now, under the sound of my voice, that are very successful in business. You've been successful in management, successful in your marriage. Maybe you've been successful in college, successful in high school. You've been successful in sports. But you feel like a failure when it comes to living the Christian life. You feel like you can never measure up. You feel like that you can never attain the standards of a, quote, good Christian, whatever that may be in your mind. Therein lies the key to our problem. Many Christians attempt to build their life on a wrong basis. They try to build their life, the structure of their life, they try to build their Christian life completely the wrong way. Many Christians try to build their life on a set of religious system, you know, whether it be a religious system of laws, moral values, a moral code of conduct, and they try to build their life on this moral code or system. And when you stay true to the rules, you feel good about yourself. When you fall short of the rules, and most of the time you will, when you fall short, you feel like a failure. Let me shock some of you this morning. God never intended for you to build your Christian life on a religious system of laws or values or a moral code. He never intended for you to build your life on that. God only gave one religious system in the entire Bible. That religious system is called the Law of Moses. It was given in the Old Testament. It was given to the nation of Israel. And it contained hundreds of commandments, hundreds of do's and don'ts, hundreds of rules. The Bible, though, is clear. No human being could keep God's perfect and righteous law. No person could ever keep that religious system in totality. In fact, if you look at the screen, the Bible says in Romans 3:19, "Now we know that what things soever the law, that religious system, saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be," help me out, I'm going to need your help with my voice, "that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." Let's read the next verse. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified or declared righteous in His sight," in God's sight. "For by the law is the..." I wanted the whole phrase. "For by the law is the knowledge of sin." Good. The law was given, that religious system was given for the purpose of, the Bible says, concluding all under sin. Look with me at Galatians 3:22. "But the Scripture," in the context, that's the law, "hath concluded," how many? "All under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." Look at verse 24. "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster," not to save us, "it was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified," that is, declared righteous by God, "that we might be justified by," what? "Faith." In your handout it says, since the time that God gave that religious system, mankind has devised a myriad of religious systems whereby one can supposedly find favor with God. Man, there are so many hundreds of religious systems in the world. They're all over. You go anywhere in the world, they've come up with religious systems whereby you can supposedly find favor with God. All over this city this morning, people are meeting to find out how they can accommodate the religious system of their church so they can therefore become acceptable to God. All over the Mideast, you've got people that are entrenched in a religious system called Islam. Supposedly, if they will follow the rules, they can find favor with their false god of Allah. And so there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of religious systems that supposedly you can find favor with God. Now, those of us who know the Lord, those of us who are Christians, those of us who know Christ as our Savior, we know that we can't get saved by keeping any religious system of rules and values. Okay? Until you come to the place where you realize that your works cannot save you, then you're not saved. You have to come to the place where you realize my good works are not going to save me. My good works still leave me as a sinner. My keeping of the religious rules of my church, I'm still a sinner. There's only one thing that can wash away sin, and it's not keeping a religious system of rules. The only thing that can wash away sins is the blood that Jesus shed on the cross for us. And until you realize that and cast yourself upon God's provision of Jesus Christ, then you're still lost and you're still dead in your sins. Now here's the problem. While Christians realize they can't get saved by a religious system, they try to live their life after they're saved by a religious system of rules or moral values or whatever it may be. Many of you in here may have been raised in a quote Bible-believing church that created its own system, whereby if you kept the rules, you're acceptable. If not, then you're not. In 1 Corinthians 3, I want you to look at verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is, what's the only foundation? Jesus Christ. In your handout, it says, we learn that Christ is the only foundation. You cannot even begin the Christian life until you're brought into a relationship with Christ. Now, question, have you been brought into a relationship with Christ? If not, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus, then you have a relationship with Satan. You say, what? Nuh-uh, no I don't. Yes, you do. The Bible teaches that because you are a sinner, you have a relationship via your sin to the devil. He is your father. The only way out of his family and the only way into God's family is Jesus Christ. It's the only way to get out of Satan's family. Now, Christ is the only foundation. If you don't have a relationship with him, you're not saved. It's that simple. We want you to have that relationship with Christ. We're not up here to simply condemn you. We're here to show you that you're already condemned because of your sin, but we're here to tell you you can have a relationship, a glorious relationship with Jesus Christ. He will save you up from your sin. He'll put his Spirit in you, and he'll change you from the inside out. Now, verse 10 in your handout, it says that in verse 10, it says that every man should take heed how he builds thereupon. Look at verse 10. Paul says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he what? Buildeth thereupon. Verse 12 talks about if any man build on this foundation. So God is very concerned with how you build your Christian life. Many people have chosen to build their Christian life on a religious system of rules and laws and moral values. There were a group of Christians in a local church that Paul wrote to. The name of the city they lived in was Colossae. And if you would, turn over to that book, Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to kind of stay there for the rest of the message. So that's page number, I don't have it on my thing here. Do we have it on the screen? There it is, page 1225 in your pew Bible. Colossians 2. this particular church was being infiltrated by a group of people that were teaching them to build their life on a religious system of ordinances and rules and laws. This was not God's plan for their life. And in your handout, it says it's not God's plan for your life. In fact, it's the surest way to fail. Now, that's strong. And I mean it to be strong. That's very strong language. When I say that if you build your life, Christian life, on a religious system of rules and laws or a moral code, that's the surest way to fail. That goes against the grain of a lot of people. That bothers people. There's something in our makeup, of pride, that wants to say, no, that can't be true. But it is true. And the Apostle Paul dealt with this very issue in this chapter. And we're going to dissect it, and we're going to look at it, and we're going to prove it. You know, I love to listen to messages in my van, and I'm constantly got a message going. And I love to go on the internet and be able to download sermons from different preachers that I know, and some that I don't know. I like to listen. And as I was searching one day, this is a very famous independent Baptist preacher, and in the country. And he's preaching a series right now entitled Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges. And here's what he said. Discover how God's Ten Commandments provide the core values needed for overcoming the challenges in your personal and family life. Here's what he just said. If you want to overcome life's greatest challenges, the Ten Commandments is the answer. Now, the Ten Commandments is wonderful. It's a great moral code. How many of us have kept it? Nobody. Does God want us to build our life on the Ten Commandments? Now, it was a rhetorical question, but I appreciate your answer. But is that, I'm just asking. Well, let's look in Colossians 2 and let's see, okay? Let's look and see how that religious systems are not what God wants us to build our life upon. Why? Number one, in your handout. Because religious systems are man-made. Now, we're going to see this in chapter 2. There's all kinds of religious systems, as I mentioned, in the world. They all say they're going to help you find favor with God. And they all have one thing in common. They're man-made. And this is what was going on here in Colossae. Same thing. People haven't changed. Look with me at verse 4. Colossians 2:4. Paul said, "In this I say, lest any man," underline that, "lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." Verse 8. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men." Verse 16. "Let no man therefore judge you." Notice again, man. "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days." Verse 18. "Let no man," underline that, man. Notice how many times he uses the word man. "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels." Verse 22. He says, "which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of" who? Men. In any religious system, who decides what the rules and what the laws will be for that religious system? Man. Even when a system purports to use God's word or God's law as its basis, it's still, in a sense, man-made. You know why? Because there are hundreds of commandments in God's law. There's over 600. So who decides which ones we're to follow? Who decides which ones we will emphasize? And who decides which ones we'll kind of neglect, gloss over, and avoid? Man. For instance, I was raised in a church not really raised. I was saved as a teenager. I wasn't really raised in a Christian home. But then I got saved and I got involved in a church. They went to the law of Moses to prove certain points about apparel, what we should wear. Here's what the Bible says, and they went to the law of Moses to prove it. It's funny, though, the law of Moses also taught that you weren't to wear any clothing that had mixed fabric. If it was, you know, for instance, how many of you in here have something on with this part cotton and part polyester, or part cotton and part rayon, or part wool and part something else? How many? Huh? Come on. Huh? Yeah, huh? Look at all these sinners in here. Look at this. Now, who decides, okay, we like this verse in the law about what a woman's supposed to wear here, but we don't, with this one here, we're not going to hit on this one about mixed fabric. See what I'm saying? Who decides which laws we'll emphasize, which ones we won't? Man. You see, when you try to build your life on a religious system of laws, it's man-made. It's mankind. Look, and that's what he kept telling them. Did you read it with me? Let no man beguile you. You know, let the commandments and doctrines of men. In your handout, it says the Pharisees had an intricate religious system of laws and traditions. But Jesus said that they made clean the outside, but they were filthy on the inside. The Pharisees were a group of religious leaders, and man, they had the outside down pat. They had their rules and laws to where they look really good to people. But look what Jesus said in your handout. I've got it in your handout, Matthew 23:15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. Now that word simply means they were trying to find people that would come into their religious system. They're trying to proselyte people into their religious system. He said, you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, when you've made him look right, talk right, act right, smell right, you have made this person really look good in your religious system. When you've made him, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. You say, you shouldn't say that. I didn't. Jesus did. Jesus said it. Number two, religious systems create pride. That's the second reason why God doesn't want you to build your life on any religious system, because it creates pride. Religious teachers had come to Colossae, and they were teaching these believers. They were pushing their religious system of laws and rules and ordinances. Look at verse 18, please. Colossians 2:18. Let no man beguile you of your reward. Notice this phrase. In a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. You know what Paul's saying there? He's saying these rules and ordinances that they're pushing, they simply create religious pride. They're masquerading as this false humility. You ever met somebody that just, buddy, I mean, they had this voluntary humility, you know? This, I'm humble and I want everybody to know how humble I am. I take great pride in my humility. You ever met anybody like that? I have. You know, they always walk around and, you know, they always, you know, and they're just always real. Oh, I'm just humble. I'm just so humble. That's what he's talking about. Most of the time, those are the most prideful people in the whole world that go around acting humble. People that go around acting humble are usually some of the most prideful people. If you knew their private life, they're prideful. He said, you know what? These false teachers are coming in here, and you're vainly puffed up, and it's mass that your pride is masquerading as self-imposed humility. Religious systems, in your handout, it says that religious systems create two reactions in people. Been there, man. This is so real to me because I've been here and I've done this. Either pride or discouragement. Brother Larry, you've been there. Man, look in your handout. When you're keeping the rules, you feel very good about yourself. You feel a sense of pride. When you're not keeping the rules, you feel discouragement and condemnation. Hey, can anybody in here testify to this besides me? You ever been there? You know that you got this religious system and everyone in the church is trying to look good in it. And man, when you look good and you're keeping the rules, man, you feel so good about yourself. And oh, this sense of pride. But then when you're not, it's like you got this discouragement, this condemnation. Most of the time I lived on the condemnation side. Though those of you who have been entangled in a religious system know exactly what I'm talking about. Those of you who are living your life right now by a set of religious rules and laws, and that's the whole basis of your life, you know, that you know exactly what I'm talking about. Religious systems create pride. You pride yourself in your moral values or in your integrity. And it makes you feel like you are a cut above the average Christian, the average Joe, the average person. It makes you feel like you're a cut above. So religious systems are man-made. They create pride. But then number three, religious systems cannot bring victory over sin. That's the ironic part, is that they leave you many times in a worse condition than you were. They cannot bring victory over sin. One thing that we learn, remember when God gave the law to Israel in the Old Testament? Some of you that really know your Bible remember this. When God was up on the mountain giving the law to Moses, if there's one thing we learn from the law, it's that you can't legislate righteousness. When God put His righteous law in black and white, and He gave it to Moses, here it is. Moses no longer had come down from the mountain with it, and Israel had broken it. They were dancing naked around a golden calf. He no longer had given it, and they'd already broken it. You cannot legislate righteousness. And that's what Paul is teaching here. Look in Colossians 2, verse 20. Now let's look at this principle. It says, he tells the church here, these believers, "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world," in which we are if we're saved. Okay, we're dead to this world. We've been crucified with Christ. "Why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances?" And then he kind of lists some of them. You know, touch not, taste not, handle not. Here's the knots. Here's the things. And then he says, verse 22, "Which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men." Now notice verse 23. This is maybe a little difficult for you to understand this verse. It was for me at first until I really studied it. Look at verse 23. "Which things," these doctrines, these commandments of men, "which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship." The idea here is we're worshiping with this mask on, with this fakeness. It's all a show. It's self-will. And then he says, in will worship and humility, again, the idea is a false humility, "and neglecting of the body," you know, you've been religious systems, you can't eat this, you can't touch that, you can't, you know, and he says here, "neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." What's he saying there? These ordinances had a show of wisdom. Self-imposed worship, humility, neglecting of the body. You know, but Paul says that it's not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. In other words, these rules do not satisfy in overcoming the flesh. Remember, in our flesh dwells... Boy, I hope you remember this. You'd make my day if you'd remember this. In our flesh, after 4 weeks on the flesh, you should know this. In our flesh dwells the law of sin. Good. He says, when you try hard to live up to a set of rules and laws, you're trying to overcome the flesh through the flesh, and it'll never work. It'll never work. You can think you've overcome one sin, and five more pop up. I have had more problem with weeds in my yard this year. How about you? Drive me crazy. We left on vacation, and when we came back, chinch bugs got hungry while we were gone and ate up part of our front yard, and the weeds had already filled in where they had eaten. And you know what's ironic? Denise and I will go out there, put on our gloves, get all filthy, dirty, nasty. You saw the picture, dirt all over my head that one Sunday. And you can go out there, get filthy, think you've got every single weed out. 2 days later, there's five more there. Makes you so mad. And that's the way it is. When you try to overcome the flesh, fleshly sin, by your own fleshly effort, and I'm going to keep the rules, and I'm going to keep these ordinances, and I'm going to do what the church tells me to do, and I'm going to boom, 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 boom. You know what? He says when you try to overcome fleshly sin with your own fleshly effort, you end up worse than when you started. You, in your handout, it says you can't overcome fleshly sins with fleshly effort. And then number four, let me give you the fourth reason why God never intended for you to build your life on a religious system. Number four, religious systems lead you away from faith in Christ. And this is really the crux and where I'm heading with this. And this is really what I want you to get. And we're gonna really deal with this more extensively next week. But I want you to go back to Colossians 2, verse 8. And this is the key verse, I think. Colossians 2, 8. And next Sunday, we'll be back in Colossians 2. And we're going to look at this more in depth. But I want to leave you with this thought. Look at verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you. That word spoil means to lead away. Beware lest any man spoil you, lead you away. Well, lead you away from what? Now, don't you think if he says you need to beware lest any man lead you away, that we need to know what we're going to be led away from? He's going to tell you. Look at it. Beware lest any man spoil you, lead you away. How? How are they going to lead you away? Through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, this man-made religious system, after the rudiments of the world, aha, here it is, and not after what? Christ. There you go, bingo. Religious systems lead you away from a faith in Christ. In your handout, it says religious systems are mere substitutes for a personal, intimate walk by faith with Jesus Christ. And this is why Satan loves religion so much. This is why Satan has hundreds of religious systems. Take your choice, whatever floats your boat, take your pick. It's multiple choice. He doesn't care which religious system you choose. He loves them all. He loves them all. I want to show you something here that will settle this issue once and for all. You think you're going to build your life on a religious system. And if you're in a church like that, you need to get out. You say you're just trying to get members. No, I don't care what church you go to, as long as it's a Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church that teaches a faith, a walk with Jesus Christ. If it's our church, great. If it's another church, that's great, as long as they teach the Bible. But if you're in a church that creates this religious system of, you know, this is what you have to do in order to be acceptable to God, whether before you're saved or after you're saved, you need to get out. Get out of it. Satan loves them all because it leads people away from a walk in faith with Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you something here that'll settle this thing. I am basically building a case this morning with you from the Bible on why you shouldn't build your life on religious systems. Religious systems of laws and ordinances and moral codes. Why? Here's why. And this will settle it once and for all. I said there was one religious system in the Bible God ever instituted. That was the law of Moses, and it was to show people their sinfulness, to show them they couldn't keep the religious system, so they would turn to God and turn to Jesus Christ when He came. And you know what? Do you know what Jesus did with that one religious system that God gave, the law of Moses? Let me show you what He did with it. Look at Colossians 2, verse 14. Let me show you what Christ did with it. Colossians 2, 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. And notice, Christ took it out of the way. What did He do with it? He nailed it to His cross. Look at verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now here's the result. Because he took that one religious system that could only condemn, it could not save, it could only show you your sin, because he took it and because he nailed it to the cross, the result is verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. Look at the next verse. Which are a what? Shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Notice that word shadow. And by the way, let me say this. What does that mean? Christ, when he died on the cross, he kept the law fully. And so when he died on the cross, he took that law that he kept, that he embodied that righteous law. And when he died on the cross, he took that law and he nailed it to the cross with him, thereby delivering us from the law's curse, delivering us from its demands, delivering us from its condemnation. And in your handout, and I don't want you now to write in the last word and then, you know, start packing up, okay? But I do want to give you the last statement in your handout. Religious systems are shadows. They are shadows that Satan uses to lead people away from the only source of true life and power. Who is that source of life and power, church? Tell me.
Jesus.
The law cannot give you power. The law cannot give you life. Galatians 3. Listen, no religious system can give you life. No religious system can give you power. Only Christ. We walk by faith in Christ. And as we walk by faith, you say, well, wait a minute. If we don't live our life by a religious system, Brother Dan, doesn't that encourage lawlessness? Oh, no. No. When you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, you know what happens? The Bible says you bear the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. You live righteously because Christ is living His life through you. You don't live lawless. We're saved. We got the Spirit of God in us. We don't have to have a list to keep us doing right. We've got the one that kept the law, the one who kept all righteousness, living within us. And when you're yielded to Him, and you walk, that's why the Bible says the law is not made for a righteous man. 1 Timothy 1. The law is not made for a righteous man. You have been declared righteous in Christ. Christ lives in you. Why the Bible says we are dead to the law that we may live unto God. You getting it? Are you getting it? Do you see it? We're dead to the law. Why? That we may live unto God. Not live lawless, that we may live unto God. Christ, and then the next verse says, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. We'll get more into that next week. Religious systems are shadows. You know what religious systems do? They're like cotton candy. Religious systems are like cotton candy. You think, have you ever grabbed a big old hunk of cotton candy? Never have? Well, if you have never eaten cotton candy, this won't mean anything to you. But if you've ever eaten cotton candy, you know what happens. You grab a big old handful of it, and boy, you think you really have something of substance. And you put it in your mouth, and you go to chew on it, and there's nothing to chew on. It dissolves. It's gone in an instant. There's nothing to chew on. That's what religious systems are like. They're like cotton candy. They promise you something of substance, but there's nothing there. But you know what Jesus said? Jesus did not say, I am the cotton candy. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Ah, man, now we're chomping on something. Amen? Amen. Now you got something to sink your teeth into. I am the bread of life. Jesus is the real thing. So you cannot build your life on a religious system, whether it's your own that you've made up in your mind, whether it's what the church has made up, whether it's what some religion has made up, whatever it is, you can't build your life on a religious system of laws and ordinances and don't do this and I'll do this and blah, blah, blah. You always are going to feel short. You're going to feel miserable. So it's the surest way to fail. And that's what Paul taught in Colossians 2. But next week we're going to come back and we're going to look at the only way to build. We saw the surest way to fail and the surest way to build a terrible build. Next week we're going to come back and look, okay, now what's the right way to build our life? Next week we're going to come back and look at that. Hey, look up here. If you're here this morning and you think, I'm a good person, I am a good person, and I do good things, and I think I'll go to heaven because I'm good. I'm not bad like a lot of other people. I'm good. Let me tell you something right now. That attitude will earn you a one-way trip to hell. Now, that's strong, but I mean it to be strong because I want to try to shake you into reality. And I want to try to make you see your good works will land you a spot in hell. Because your good works, my friend, still leave you in the same state before you ever did the good works. And that is, you are still a sinner that has broken God's law. You have offended God's righteousness. You have done wrong. You have done wickedly. And the Bible says you are alienated from God by wicked works. That's reality. Now, you may not like that, but that's reality. The Bible says you are alienated from God by wicked works. You need a Savior. You need somebody to deliver you from your sin. And that only person that can do it is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that kept the law. He's the only one that chose to go and die for you in your place. He took your death for you. He took your punishment for you. He took the penalty that you deserve. And now all God wants is for you to simply admit your sin and realize you need a Savior and just believe that Jesus' death is sufficient for you. Believe that He died for you. Cast yourself by faith upon Jesus Christ. Just, Lord Jesus, I want You to save me. And believing that He died and that He rose again the third day, proving that He was who He said He was, the Son of God. Your good works won't save you, but the good news is Jesus will. Jesus will save you. Hey, if you're here this morning and you're not sure that you've ever been saved, I'm talking about being forgiven of all your sin. We would consider it an honor to take a Bible, open it up with you, and show you from the Bible how you can be saved and know that you're a Christian, know that you're saved, know that you're a child of God. If you're not sure you're saved, I invite you to come during our invitation time. Let us take the Bible, and we'll be glad to show you how you can be saved this morning. Delivered from hell, delivered from the penalty of sin, delivered from the curse of the law, delivered from the penalty of death. You can be delivered this morning. We would love to take the Bible and show you how. Let's go to God in prayer this morning.